What's up, guys? Welcome back to the show. All right, so we're diving right into a fairly big topic today, the top risks you face while operating compressors. And look, the first one's a big deal, electrical safety. It's not just about flipping a switch and hoping for the best.
Yeah, one statistic really stood out to me. 106 electrocutions at work in 2024. That's according to OSHA. I mean, that's a lot of lives lost.
Exactly. And these aren't amateur setups we're talking about. A typical compressor can have up to 5 different voltages in its control panel. 5, Lisa? That's not something you mess around with.
Right? And unless you're a trained electrician or repair tech, you don't even touch that panel, period. These things aren't forgiving.
Nope, they're not. And here's the safeguard. Most modern compressors now display critical safety data on a screen. You've got pressure, temperature, voltage, and amps right there. That means no popping the panel open like it's some DIY project.
And even when the power's off, there's stored energy in the system. Take the variable speed drive. It uses capacitors that can hold energy for up to 15 minutes. If you don't check, you're, well, playing Russian roulette, basically.
Yep, multimeter's your best friend there. Now let's move on. Rotating parts. Anything that makes air has to move, and moving parts come with their own risks.
Like those safety guards, right? They're there for a reason, but people take them off during maintenance, or worse, just to make their job faster.
And that's so dangerous. Before you even start the machine, do a walk around, kind of like you would for a forklift. Check every guard, every sticker. If something's missing, fix it before you press the button.
And listen, this isn't some sticker on your kid's toy. These warnings save lives. You remove a guard or ignore a hazard label, and suddenly, rotating equipment becomes a whole lot more dangerous.
Speaking of danger, let's talk about heat. People think heat injuries and go straight to fire. But with compressors, burns are just as big a problem.
Yeah, and every component can be hot. We're talking temps hitting upwards of 500 degrees Fahrenheit, Jason. Even after shutdown, it can take over an hour for some parts to cool down.
Right. Touch the wrong piece and you're branded like cattle. Not to mention in winter, frozen moisture can turn into high-pressure ice crystals. Imagine getting hit with that.
That's terrifying. So, what's the takeaway here? Gloves? Infrared temperature gauges? What's their best defense?
Both of those, yeah. But honestly, it's vigilance. Like, you gotta respect the equipment. There's no room for shortcuts here. Like I said before, it all comes down to vigilance and respect for the equipment. Now, let's talk about compressed air itself. Because it's not just air, it's stored energy. And stored energy, when mishandled, well, it can go from helpful to hazardous in seconds.
Right. It's easy to forget what's behind that air pressure. Tons of it. And if someone opens a line or valve without checking first, I mean, it can be disastrous.
Disastrous is the word. Picture this. You're cracking open a pressure line, thinking it's fine, and suddenly you've got high-pressure air screaming out. If you're lucky, it's just noise.
And if you're not lucky, you're dealing with injuries, or worse. It really highlights how easily things can go wrong if you're, let's say, overconfident or distracted.
Overconfidence kills. Literally. I've seen, well, heard, stories about experienced operators thinking, I got this, only to misjudge a situation because they weren't focused.
It's that false sense of security, like when you've been around the equipment so long, you stop seeing the risks. That's when bad things happen.
Yeah, and distractions don't help. One wrong move, like jerking back after touching a hot surface. And bam, you're in the danger zone.
It's sort of ironic, isn't it? The more you know, the easier it can be to overlook the basics.
That's why tools like those internal pressure gauges Kaishin puts on their compressors are a game changer. You can see the pressure right there, no guesswork.
Super smart. You've got the gauge near the sump tank, the control panel. It's proactive safety. It makes it easier to know exactly what you're dealing with before anything's opened or adjusted.
Exactly. It's about removing the maybe from the equation. Safety works best when it starts before there's an issue, not after.
So true. And keeping that mindset, the vigilance you mentioned earlier, is key. Not just having the tools, but actually using them consistently. We've talked about the tools, the vigilance, and how safety starts before there's even an issue, but let's bring it home. When it comes to the team, how do you make these safety practices really stick day to day?
Training. It all starts there. You can have the best tools, the clearest labels, but if operators don't know or don't care, about safety, it all falls apart. That's why Kaishin emphasizes safety training so heavily. They're not just selling compressors, they're building safer workplaces.
Right, I was looking through their resources, and they offer everything from custom safety programs to on-site consultations. They even work through local distributors to make sure the training fits each operation. It's smart because, honestly, no two facilities are exactly the same.
Exactly. And it's about more than just a one-and-done training day. It's about creating habits, daily rituals like inspection checklists, walking the floor, checking those guards, ensuring the pressure gauges are where they should be.
Yeah, and having standardized procedures for even the smallest tasks. That consistency is what saves lives. But I think there's another piece here, leadership. How management approaches safety really sets the tone.
Oh, completely. If leaders don't prioritize safety, why should anyone else? I've seen teams where safety takes a backseat for speed or convenience. And let me tell you, cutting corners always catches up. Always.
Totally. And it's not just about calling people out when they mess up. Leadership has to celebrate the wins, when teams do things right. Make it clear that safety's not just a box to check, but part of who they are as a company.
That's how you build a safety culture. One where vigilance is second nature, where people look out for each other because they want to, not because they have to.
Right? And I mean, look, accidents can still happen. We're all human. But with the right training, the right tools, and leadership driving the message home, you're giving your team the best possible chance to stay safe.
That's what it's all about, being proactive, not reactive. Safety isn't just a priority. It's got to be part of the everyday operation.
Couldn't agree more. And with that, Jason, I think we've covered the essentials. Thanks for another great discussion.
Right back at you, Lisa. And to everyone listening, stay safe, stay sharp, and we'll catch you next time on the Big Dog Podcast.